The footy from Triple M.
The weekend is here. And so is Triple M footy.
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For the 2019 Mitsubishi Triton, the toughest Mitsubishi ute ever. Now in run out. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
Pretty much the best week on the football calendar. Preliminary final weekend. MCG lights just coming on. Perfect warm night. Not too much breeze. Could not get better for a game of footy between two massive clubs. The Cats set to take on the Richmond Football Club. The prize, a spot in next Saturday's grand final. Guests, there's plenty of them. Matty Scarlett, others to come. Nate has got one of the great top fives apparently ever in the history of radio. There's a couple of issues that need to be spoken about. A lot of footy to get through. I look across at you as the captain of the team, Luke Darcy. Preliminary final weekend. I know you're involved in a lot of them. As a player, probably don't give you the fondest memories, but to come here tonight, there's a lot of excitement.
A huge honour to be here, Howard, on prelim final night. Very, very excited. Two big teams. It will be a sellout crowd. And just a little heads up, if you happen to be in the CBD of Melbourne, there's been a big, big protest today. So the CBD has been shut down. If you're on your way to the MCG, you want to try and get here as quickly as you can because chaos in the city. Climate change protesters have shut down most of the CBD of Melbourne, Howie.
Well, they're right because it's 24 degrees at the moment. Very warm day and people really step up for finals. And I think our man might have shaved his head the day the preliminary final. He's looking very sharp. Up on top, Chris Judd. Hello to you.
Friday night football, big game, Howard. It's not just the players that lift this time of year.
That's Duke, a fresh shave, Judd.
Yeah, it's a close shave. You sing when you're winning, Duke, as our man Nate O'Wade often says, and it's a good point.
Is it a difficult thing to shave your head?
Is it a what?
Is it a difficult thing to do? Do you do it yourself? Do you get someone to do it?
I chop and change. This was done by a third-party operator, and I think they did a very good job,
Howard. Joey Scandizzo?
Not Scandizzo, no. Another operator.
What do you just go in and ask for? Just a all off?
I say, give me the Vin Diesel. And they give it to me. I'm very happy with the results.
What do they charge for a blade shave?
$45. Well, they've trimmed the actual, they've clipped the beard too. So you've got the beard and the, obviously the hair on my head.
It only costs $30 for a haircut. There's no hair to cut.
Horses for courses.
Does that include the polish
on
top?
Yeah, what are you shining it up with? It's very shiny. Very impressively shiny.
What do they use?
No particular polish.
Right. No. But there is a product they use.
No, there's not.
Right.
No, that's just what skin looks like when it's not covered with hair.
It's been moisturised at least.
I think it has.
That's glistening.
It is glowing.
your hair's been cleared as much as the other seat property.
Yeah, no, we napalmed that and they napalmed my hair.
Hello to you, Damien Barrett.
Hello, how are you, boys? Two underdogs are going in with players out, aren't they, from tribunal matters, which we'll discuss at some stage of this evening. So, yeah, Hawkins is the one that's almost been forgotten, given all the Toby Green news of the week.
And Noodles, your top five, apparently, Darce, this is the first top five in the history of Triple M where the wife of the person that is going to present it rang the producer to say she had concerns. Yeah. Which means to me, the man in question that's delivering it already delivered it as a practice run to his wife.
He's done a dry run.
Apparently so.
To the beautiful Christina.
Who rang our producer.
She's rung and said we should make sure this doesn't go to
correct.
Air.
Yes. I think he was using it as a conversation wedge.
Did you really run it by Christina?
Can I say, Harry, before he answers, got a smugness to him tonight that Toby Green would be proud of. Mate, what's up with you?
It's a disgrace that he's not playing too. But she was a bit alarmed about it, and she thought she needed a call.
But how did she
snorkel?
What did you sit down and say? Can I just?
Well, I was riding it on the couch the other night, and obviously it doesn't sound as good in print. You know, when things are in print, they sound a lot worse than what they are. And she read them, and it's not so much what other people would think. I think she's concerned about my relationship with you four when we do this. So she rang the big nose producer, and he's given it the all clear.
Okay. 6:45, so in 40 minutes time local, nothing's top five.
I'm all for people being happy with themselves or expressing themselves like the climate changers did today, but you've gone too far with that belt today. I don't understand what that is.
No.
I mean, we're going to get a photo of it. I'm going to put it up on Instagram.
That is sharp. That's what
it looks like. As you call Judge, it looks like Avril Lavigne's belt.
It is. It's embarrassing. It smells of midlife crossing as well. I'm not sure how the social event you had at your house went last week, Howard. But when you pull a belt on like that, I can only assume it didn't go as well as it could have.
More alarmed by it's an aqua lime green sort of, as you said, like an 18-year-old kid trying hard on his rollerblades might have a go at that, but the thing that is interesting is that he came in with the lowest of low hunt jeans and the high boxes, almost boys in the hood style.
It's awful,
for
isn't
a man
it?
Who weighs 56 kilos, it's not a good look.
I think it's sharp. Hey, congratulations this week. Go on. You got something else silly to say, or are you done?
No, it is pretty silly. Because when I was in the Uber, just coming here, it was a long time. It was about 55 minutes because of the climate people out there. And yes. They've got a certain
careful
look about them.
Think this through. Yes.
And,
what sort of a look, mate?
Well, they're quite a skinny look. And that's what I was getting at. Someone with an agenda, which is Howard.
You're right. It was a silly thing to say. Quite straight away. Hey, a big congratulations, and I know you're very proud of our man, Damien Barrett, who sat down, apparently, had a conversation with someone this week that he has been warring with for 7 years. As you know, Damo can get quite bitter and twisted about things in life. He holds a grudge, but apparently you've sat down with
mended
your greatest nemesis and mended a bridge, and I commend you for it, Damien.
Do you
well done. I do. I'm proud of you. Tell us, who are we talking about and exactly what happened?
Oh, I don't know. You're telling the story, and I haven't sat down with anyone this week.
Apparently. The man that you will not even use his
chief.
Name. No, not the chief.
Luke Beveridge.
Mark Robinson. I know there's a lot.
How many on the list? It's Mark one of the Scott brothers.
Leverage. No.
Apparently there was a handshake, and you've broken bread, and a seven-year war has come to a close.
There was a genuinely warm handshake and words exchanged from Mark and myself at the media night during the week, Howie.
Yes. So take us through it.
No, that's
what
that's
was it. The genesis of the seven-year war?
We just didn't like each other, but we've come to an arrangement now.
Who made the first move, Damien?
Robbo.
I've been told by a third party that Damo's handshake when he shook his hand was very EJ Witten-like to make sure
you
go over the top and really
Latham-style.
Donald Trump-like.
It was like a dominating handshake from Damo.
When John Bertram won the America's Cup back was there a bit of that about it?
Mark Latham and Howard.
Hey, I'm proud of you.
Can I just ask a question here before we move on? How many of your managers got involved to pull this deal together? Was it all three or just to two manager jobs?
Just the two on that occasion.
So are you friends now?
No, we won't be friends, but I think to Mark's credit that he instigated it on the back of something I'd said about one of our mutual friends in Glenn McFarlane. And
fantastic.
And an arrangement. I'm interested. What sort of arrangement do you care? Is it sort of keep off the grass arrangement or?
We've probably been carrying on like little children, I suppose, for some time.
Have you?
Us?
Yeah. You've been immature? Yeah,
probably.
In hindsight?
On that public side of that relationship.
Das, I like how you said before we move on, we're not moving on. So we're okay.
No, that's good. I was concerned.
It was starting. I'm loath to bring this up, but I'm going to bring this up. It's not normally my area. I'd normally tell Nate this, and he'd somehow bring it out. Mm. But it's starting to damage our Friday Huddle brand because we were promised a guest tonight from the Richmond Football Club, who, from what I can gather, after some research was done and they found that Damien will be in the box, they've decided not to appear on the show.
Another bridge that needs to be.
Yeah. So you've got a big Bridgman. Summer coming up, Damo.
Yeah.
Who was it, Howard?
Probably not going to bother with this one.
Who was it, Howard?
Well, Damo, you know who it was.
Well, of course I know who it was. The bloke who threw something at me about 3 years ago.
Leper.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he was coming on, but now he can't because he's got other duties, and the fact that Damien was here didn't enable it to happen.
That's mendable. If you can break bread with Mark Robinson, you and Leper can swap.
The orange ruffy.
So, Damo, where are you going to start? Because now you've mended one bridge.
Yeah. There's
a lot of bridges. So it's going to be a busy summer.
Mind you, we've gone in hard. I mean, the one you're referring to was one of the bigger ones.
Yep. So are you going to sit down with Justin now?
Wouldn't have thought so.
Right.
No.
Luke? Mark made the first step with you. Maybe it's be time for you to make the first start with Leper.
Well, I've just received a text message that the same thing happened on the Sunday footy show with Leper as well.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah,
from the producer.
So it's starting to damage. It's starting to damage things, Damien.
Mm. Is it? Yeah.
So
I reckon we can do with our content created by Justin Lepich on this show.
What did he throw at you? What did he throw at you? Was it a...
Well, I didn't see it, but...
it was going that quick.
There was Michael Voss certainly saw it, yeah.
So I think all I'm saying is I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I think you've both done well, but the summer needs to continue down this
path
so we can get to Friday night, round one next year, and there's no agendas, there's no concerns. We can have anyone on, and they're happy to...
Because we want to be positive.
But unlike maybe the other four people in this box. I'm pretty true to how I carry myself with people. So you all carry relationships with people you don't necessarily like, but make out as though you do.
Really?
I'm pretty upfront with mine.
I just don't think we hold grudges for 7 years like you do, mate.
No, that's probably also true.
Just how society functions, mate. You just make do with what you've got and try and get along with people. That's just how it works.
And I do 98% of people.
People say I'm awkward, but when you the conversation is about you, you're as awkward as anybody. Like, really awkward.
Arms across. Look at your body language.
Your body language is awful.
I think we can all take a leaf, Judge.
But I think Juddy made a good point around maybe, you know, Mark Robbins, that's a big thing for him to do.
Courageous.
If you were able to make the first step, maybe reach out and mend a bridge or two.
And I'd play it publicly too, wouldn't I? That's
awesome. I reckon Bevo's the one. I reckon that's the one.
Do you?
I think
well, there's his best mate.
I'm not sure Bevo would call me his best mate.
Can you sort it out for them to sit down and just break bread?
How about I get you involved in that?
You want to meet as a third party?
How about I go through a phase where I try and mend bridges and to me that one.
I suspect you let that one lie. I think you work on some others first.
I think we can all do it. Judge, is there anyone in your life that after Damien's and Lee that you should sit down with and sort of mend a bridge?
Well, there probably is, to be honest. And someone who I had a go at on this show, and I think thinking back, I think it's affected me. I think it's affected him too. And I'm talking about Elon Musk. And I know, I had a go at Tesla. I labelled them a fraud, which they are, Duke. And, you know, when a heavyweight of finance criticises you like that, it's a burden for him to bear. So I probably need to be the bigger man on this one. Reach out to Elon. Say I'm here to help.
I thought you were going to say Kevin Bartlett.
KB.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say anything derogatory around KB. He's a legend of the game.
I think the first ever time you appeared on this show when you weren't all of a sudden boring.
It was good whack.
Yeah.
I said he was bald.
Mm.
Well, that's hardly.
Yeah, okay.
That's factually correct.
What about you,
and
Nathan?
He holds a grudge. That's okay.
Nath, have you got someone you're going to sit down with on the on back of Damo's efforts?
Just the entire Western Bulldogs Football Club. For you, I would have thought.
That's not funny. I don't know why you're laughing.
I think it is quite funny. Actually.
Took the Juke a year to get over it.
Duke likes it.
We mended that bridge, but there's probably a few others back there, Nate.
Yep. Who?
Could be sorted out.
No, there was a kid in grade 3. His name was Jimmy Richards back in Bendigo. I used to steal his lunch pretty much every third day, and to the point where he would tear up and go and tell the teachers, and they could never catch me. They knew it was me, and they, in the end, started to think that he was lying about it. So, Jimmy, sorry to you, pal.
Jimmy, if you're listening, direct messages on Instagram, and we'll A, sort you out your lunch money, and we'll B, put you in touch with Nathan now.
Maybe a Triple M mystery pack as well, Jimmy, if you can.
Yeah, game sticker, some Jagged gear, a trip to Sukhavati. What about you, Dash?
I sort of have that lucky issue, Howie, where I tend to
be 18, Duke.
Much loved and affable and get on with a lot of people, Howie. So like, I searched and thought, I just generally have great relationships with people in this industry, and I'd be surprised if there's someone out there, Howie, that I need to mend a bridge with.
So no bridge mending for you?
As a player, there might have been a few issues, Howie, back in the day, but nothing.
What about the staff at the Irish Hotel where you let off the fire again? Is there a mea culpa required there, do you think?
Oh, I think you'll find that I didn't let off that fire extinguisher, and I might have saved our man Nate 08 from imminent danger on that occasion.
I reckon there was an apology to Wayne Campbell once coming from you.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Nah, there was, and we
Adam Simpson. He probably
need to apologise to Jimmo too, which so I did. I mended all those. I'm a bridge mender.
I tried to punch on with Kane Johnson out the front of the Botanical.
Sugar.
We mended that one too. That was Bob Murphy and I mended that one.
How about you, Howie?
I don't hold grudges. Move on.
I'm loath to bring up this because you accuse me of
Buzz.
Name dropping. So I think we just move on. I don't want to bring mine up. I think we'll move on.
No, of course you're going to. We are not allowing you to throw to the ad break until you tell us.
No, because you'll say I'm name dropping.
Because you generally are, as a rule.
Okay.
Boris Becker for how bad that went.
No, I need to mend bridges with Brian Lara.
What happened, mate?
I had an incident with Brian Lara at a tournament in Dubai.
Sure, it's really burning Brian up.
Well, it's a cut a long story short. I don't think it is, but it affected me enormously, and I never did anything about it.
What'd you say to Brian?
Well, he talked. He was at a tournament.
We're sniggering again, because that's not being grateful.
No. He left a tournament halfway through to go back to Carnival, which I mentioned on air in the commentary. I said, Brian's not here. He had it told to him another way that I said he left to go for a party and he wasn't interested in the cricket. And he gave me, in the middle of the Sharjah cricket ground, one of the great sprays.
in the history of cricket, and foolishly I said something back, and I shouldn't have, because he's a legend of the game, and it sat with me for a long time. So I will...
No, you're right about the name-dropping part of that. That was basically all it was for.
It's a little skirmish and a fight you have any given broadcast.
No, but I don't do this, mate.
Yes, mate, you're in the Caribbean.
I don't even reckon it happened.
A quick break here. If you got to mend a bridge with anyone out there...
You'll never know who you are.
We advise you to do it. Damo.
Well done, Damo.
It'd be nice to have Justin Leppich on the show at some stage as well.
I wouldn't have thought so.
You got that's not going to help. That's not going to help, that attitude. Good news. In the next segment, you're going one-on-one with Matty Scarlett. After the way you dominated the interview last time, earlier on in the season, we thought we needed to go with you again, Darcy. It was one of the great interviews.
It was
like Michael Parkinson. Here's a couple of the highlights.
The pig Greenwood generally goes to Joel and tries to get under his skin. Would you expect him to go to him tonight?
I don't think he's playing.
Well, that'll make it. That'll make a trick if that's happening. Scarlett
he just runs onto the ground and goes after him. I think it might be hard for him to play on.
I see me and Scarlett are two peas in a pod. I knew we had an understanding. What else was I going to ask? That was the main thing I wanted to get out of the way. I've drawn a bit of a blank. What have you like set up there?
I like to test my interviewees out and see if they know who's playing. Howard and Scarlo passed, and we had a great chat that day.
What about the conversation, Damo? We shouldn't do an off-air conversation, but we're going to. We were driving here.
No, we shouldn't.
And you were talking about Toby Green. It was going to be tougher than without Toby Green and Lachie Whitfield. What did your man, the judge, say?
No, I'm not comfortable relaying a private conversation.
What did he say?
No, well, you've raised
theater,
it.
Theatre, Howard. Oh, you get too involved in theatre.
Your man, Gullum. Judge, has gone, what's wrong with Lachie Whitfield? He's our special comments man. He's the number one broadcaster in football, is the way advertise him.
He wasn't sure he was.
Got the number one financial podcast in the world going at the moment, so he can't be across everything. There's probably a staffing issue for you at Judd Corp, that is.
I'm viewing from the helicopter. You know, Howard's down on the dance floor all the time. You can tell when you're up on the helicopter looking at the big picture, you miss a couple of things. A couple of things slip through.
Small details.
But you get the big ones, Duke, and that's what matters.
And you were aware that Toby Green had been in the news.
I did after you told me. Toby Green's out. So that's a...
He plays for the Giants.
Giants, yep.
And right, Damo News, talking about Toby Green.
Yeah, it was a big week, wasn't it? For the second week in a row, hands around the face of an opponent, Marcus Bontempelli 2 weeks ago, Lachie Neale this week. There was a match review office finding, there was a tribunal hearing, there was an appeals tribunal hearing. It left the people associated with Toby Green really, really annoyed at the end of it here. You'll hear his manager, Paul Connors, and also the chief executive officer of the Giants, David Matthews.
Well, I sat through the two-hour hearing. I think the issue is we probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. I sat through, I watched the vision a thousand times, and I have no idea how they've come to any conclusion in the first place at the MRI or on Tuesday night how they could find him guilty of touching Neil's face.
To conclude that he should be offered a week on very, very limited evidence, which was later proved to be virtually no evidence. That's the issue. That's what we've been fighting all week.
So you'd agree with the assertion that it was a preconceived punishment that was imposed on Toby Green?
Yes.
Do you think he's victimised because of who he is?
Oh, I could not agree more. And if this was any other player, this would not have even got through the MRO.
Michael Christian played in the premiership with Collingwood. It feels like we've been playing Collingwood all week.
They're massive statements, preconceived outcome, victimised, even drawing in the fact that Michael Christian has Collingwood links to his playing days. Look, in my view, and everyone's got the view, and we'll open up quickly, in isolation, what he did to Lachie Neale wasn't worthy of a week, but in my view, and this is the overriding view I've got for what it's worth, is that for the second consecutive week, he chose to put his hands in the face of an opponent, and as such, the system worked from the previous week, when I feel that was worse. What he did to Marcus Bontempelli should have been suspended that week, and as such, what's happened to him is not something that the club or his management should be sooking about right now.
The tribunal chairman at the start said, you've got to have this case on its merits. Don't worry about last week's. Don't worry about who it is. You've got to put this case on its merits. So obviously, that went out the window, Damo. But the other thing is GWS, and I was speaking to someone from them the other night, that they thought that it couldn't have gone any better. They thought with the evidence presented, Toby's evidence, obviously Lachie Neal's evidence, the way that all went, they just went out of there thinking, this is 100%. We have got him off. He's going to be playing.
Yeah,
they walked
out
of that 100%. They thought that he was the best he could possibly go, and then they were blindsided when they went back in.
That's naive, though, Brownie, because he had to overturn the case. It wasn't just a matter of having it heard, as it was the case the previous week. They had to actually provide compelling enough evidence to have the whole case thrown out. And I didn't sit through it. I read the transcripts. I didn't see that. And also, too, referring to Lachie Neal's evidence, I thought we were beyond relying on the victim's evidence being part of any submission. Adrian Anderson, who actually represented Toby Green, was in charge of the AFL when he also basically banned any possibility of the victim giving evidence anyway.
Lachie Neal can still see it of his left eye, so I don't think it was too big a deal in the end. I think
there's a perception that Toby Green has been thumbing his nose at the industry. I interviewed him straight after the game once. He had no idea, Toby Green, what he'd done. He was surprised when it happened. I think there's a bit of compound interest in that suspension, really.
Nate. Lachie Henderson comes back into the Cats side. Where does he start tonight?
Well, I think he starts in the defensive end. I think he's a better defender than what he is forward. I know that people are thinking maybe he comes in to play that full forward role that Hawkins is vacating. But, I mean, this is the preliminary final, and I don't think they can beat Richmond without taking a chance and changing things up. 33 of the last 36 games the Tigers have won here, and they are flying. Dangerfield, for me, has to go forward, play full forward, and try and take the game away from Richmond. Back in your midfield and Kelly, Selwood, and these guys who have done a pretty good job all year, because Lachie Henderson goes forward, he's not going to kick five or six. He might get his two, he possibly three, but I don't think that's going to be the difference, and they need a difference tonight.
Massive night for a young man by the name of Asaba Radigalia tonight, Das.
It's intriguing, isn't it?
He
was superb in the last final, the way he crashed packs and took marks. And I'm with Brownie. I think for Geelong to get up, you're looking at them doing something out of the box. You know, Radigalia having the best night of his life and kicking five or six. I'm fascinated as well. We'll get into the footy details of what they do with Mark Blitzer. He played ruck, he's tagged, he's played fullback. He was brilliant at fullback first 15 games. Terry Wallace, our old coach, Brownie, I saw he's been mounting a case for him to tag Dusty Martin. I like it.
Yeah.
I think that would be brilliant because he's got the aerobic ability. If Dusty goes forward, he's going to be his at-home playing on Dusty as a defender. So watch that one.
Good call.
As well.
All right, it is time for
Letterman.
How'd you like being in jail?
Parkinson.
Why did you say that? I mean, did you mean that?
Denton.
Stay with me, it's okay.
Judd.
I've been too big for football for a little while, let's be honest.
Chris Judd is going deep.
5CJ.
Are you down there, 5CJ?
No, I'm down here. Thanks very much. Very lucky to be joined by Matty Scarlett. I wasn't actually going to come down here, Matty, to do the interview, but I'm told that you insisted that I come down and do the interview. Such is the quality of my skills in your eyes.
I did, mate. Thanks for coming down. It's always a pleasure to see and talk to you, Juddy.
Beautiful. Very good. I'll get straight in the footy. Last week, it looked like you guys went really quick with the ball. You didn't play slow, particularly out of the back line. You just took it on, and if you ran into trouble, kicked long down the line. Was that a major focus, and will it be tonight?
Yeah, look, it probably is most weeks, mate. We felt last week we started really well around the footy. We got our contest work right, which then gives you the energy to attack pretty well. So we moved the ball quite efficiently off our half-back line last week, and hopefully we can do that again.
And Lachie Henderson back in. Are you expecting him to play mostly down forward or down back?
He'll be out on the ground somewhere, probably both ends.
Okay, very good. What about Richmond? Dusty Martin, obviously such a key player. When I look and watch them play, see him starting in the middle of the ground, but really looks like he's playing forward. How do you view his time in the midfield? As a proper midfielder or more as a guy that's starting mid but really playing forward?
Yeah, he plays it a little bit differently. Obviously, he's fantastic around the footy. Then he edges forward and sort of just stops and has a rest and plays in the front half a little bit. So we'll have a plan around stoppages so our guys hopefully do the job around the footy. Then when he drifts forward, obviously one of our defenders will go to him. Probably Jack Henry, Colajasny, those types. We feel we've got quite a few good matchups for him down there, but certainly he plays it a bit differently. He has a crack around the footy, then just holds back forward. So we've got some plans for that.
And you're expecting Richmond to give you a loose around the stoppages?
Look, they might. They put a forward up and in the stoppages as well, so it's going to be important where we put our spare off him. And then we might put a forward up to equalise as well. So it's going to be a big battle around the footy.
They give you that loose, do you try and create more handball chains or do you just stick to how you move the footy usually?
Look, we'll set our spare up in different positions depending on where the stoppage is. Hopefully, if they do win the stoppage, we've got a bit of cover behind the footy first to stop them scoring. Then hopefully they can join in our attack as well. So hopefully that works for us.
And Joel Selwood looked brilliant being back almost exclusively as a centre square midfielder last week. We're expecting him to play mostly tonight.
Yeah, he'll be inside for a fair bit of the night. He was unbelievable last week, and hopefully he can get us going around the footy tonight, and he'll spend a bit of time out on the wing as well, but mainly around the footy.
Thank you very much. You got anything up top?
No, I think you've covered it all fantastically. Best of luck to you tonight, Matty. Thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Really wanders into the football space, our man Chris Judd, on this show. But when he does, Damien...
That was very sharp.
Very, very sharp.
He was well researched.
He was, which is not normally the way he
wrote. He had all his questions written down, yes, which was good for him.
Did he?
He did a very...
Oh, no, I saw, yeah.
Well, I think you can rule out the theory that Mark Blitzos might take Dusty just on Matty Scull. Wouldn't give away a lot, but he was pretty specific about the plans around Dusty, that they will allow their midfielders to go to work on him, and then they've got some defenders back there. So I can understand why that would be the case. Just disrupting that whole midfield structure is a big call and a big final.
When Richmond have struggled, I think it's been at the hands of small elite forwards who can rotate through there. I wouldn't mind if Geelong tonight went full-on mobile forwards. Not all small. Have Radicalea as the stay-at-home beacon to kick to. But if they went Ablett, Dangerfield through there, a lot of players.
Myers.
Dalhouse, Myers.
Atkins.
All of those guys just to cause some real issues for Richmond. I reckon that is a play.
Where does Dylan Grimes go tonight? We've seen him a couple of times in recent weeks here at the MCG. He's been absolutely elite.
Whoever is the most dangerous player, you send Dylan Grimes to. He's every bit as good as what Alex Rance was at his best. He is a wonderful player, Dylan Grimes, and he's held up that back line.
So who is it, though? Who is it?
Well, if Dangerfield plays forward, he plays Dangerfield, takes Dangerfield without a doubt.
I think he's right, Brownie. As always on that front, yeah, he would go to Dangerfield or their most dangerous, but he's had a remarkable year as the All-Australian back pocket. Brownie said, as good as Alex Rance at his best, that's a big call. Rance's in the conversation for the best defenders I've ever seen play the game. And, that, you know, Dylan Grimes' year stacks up, that's for sure.
Yes. Officially, no changes as named, as selected, both teams tonight.
What type of read are you getting on the Jordan Dugowie situation? He's been over to Germany. The vision we saw on the track, he looked fantastic. I noticed a comment from Darcy Moore said, it's one thing on the track, but from my experience, when you get nervous and the anticipation of a game and your body tightens up, it's a whole different game. Yeah. It was an interesting comment.
He played one game in 6 weeks and lasted 2 minutes of that game, that game being the qualifying final 2 weeks ago. Flown to Germany since, as we know, got back and did look, in inverted commas, sharpish, didn't he? In the vision we got to see on the training track. I still can't get my head around us, Nathan Buckley, being prepared to take a player who by that stage of the grand final will have played 2 minutes of football inside 9 weeks of the season. I just cannot see and cannot get my head around the risk attached to that decision.
Remember Cyril Rioli did something remarkable with a hamstring injury, and he'd been doing them all the time, and he thought, can they risk him in a grand final? It's the only one I can remember, and it worked out.
Played
Cyril
half in the VFL grand final.
Yes, right, and that's the key. Yeah.
In saying what you said about Darcy Moore, I think it's a different mindset for Jordan Dugowie and Darcy Moore. I don't think Jordan Dugowie would feel that pressure going into that game on his body.
That will be the story, Damo. If Collingwood win tomorrow, you can guarantee from Sunday morning it is Jordan Dugowie watch, isn't it?
From Sunday morning until 2:29 p.m. Saturday afternoon of the grand final. Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm obsessed with Dr. Hans, the German doctor. I love it. I love the myth that surrounds him. Apparently, he lives in a castle. You know, he's surrounded by a moat.
The descriptions you get back
from the moat, has
he? He's got a moat.
How good's that?
20.
You don't know too many people with a moat, Howard.
I don't know anyone with a moat, Nathan.
He's surrounded by 20 nurses in white uniforms. There's all sorts of stuff going on. He's the head doctor at Bayern Munich Football Club.
Treated Bono, Usain Bolt.
He's got a fair list, Dr. Hans.
Could you get him across to Sukhavati?
Well, that'd be a good result, wouldn't it? Imagine getting Dr. Hans there to do a little bit of work. I'm told Collingwood put a lot of work in to see if they could get Dr. Hans out here grand final week.
Oh, did they?
Got a bit on, I think, Dr. Hans. Couldn't make it out. But if he gets Jordan Dugowie through a grand final, they'll build a Hans statue at the Holden Centre.
Yeah. Name your price. We might take a quick break because up next, Nath's top five. This is the one he ran past his wife, who then rang our producer to say, I don't think you should let my husband put this to air.
She's a good judge, Christina Brownie's beautiful wife.
In most things.
This concerns me. She's actually taken the time to ring the big nose producer.
Sometimes she's got to push the boundaries, Howard. And if you don't push the boundaries, we'd still be in horse-drawn carts and the T-Model 4 would never have been built.
Yes, but people wouldn't have died from automobile accidents as well and all sorts of things, Nathan. I just think tonight is what I'm saying is not the night. to start taking those risks, Nathan.
Sometimes you just got to let...
For McDonald's.
Fall where they may, Howard.
Triple M Rocks football. We were just talking about the Jordan Dugowie situation with the famous German Dr. Das.
Dr. Hans, the Hilling Hans.
That's it.
Extraordinary operator. Fascinated by Dr. Hans and all that goes with him. The castle he lives in, he's surrounded by a moat.
I like 20, that part.
20 nurses around him at any one time, well, all wearing white.
Our version here in Australia is Dr. Ron White. He's pretty much the...
That is exactly how I would describe...
Pretty much the Australian version. Doc, good evening. Wonderful to see you.
G'day, Howie. Nice to be here, mate.
Do you have a moat, Doc?
His house in South Yarra is big enough.
It is.
We haven't got a moat, but we've got hydrotherapy, so maybe Professor Wolfhart might stick his patients in the moat. But,
always been a great fascination of you and I, Doc, this man. Tell us,
you're right.
What's the theory of what he does to these athletes, pop stars, etc.?
Well, he's been doing it for about 20 years, so there's something about it that must be working. And what he does, he extracts calf blood or the solution which is in the comb of roosters, you know, the thing that sticks up.
And does he have a live calf on hand just to sort of draw it out at the time, Doc? Or
I don't know. He might have an abattoir at the back, but I don't know the intricacies of it. But he extracts the calf blood and there's something in it.
And from the comb of the rooster.
The comb of the rooster, you know, the little red thing that flops around from side to side, it does have a use.
Yes.
Does he spin the blood, Doc, and create more red blood cells? Or
what he does, he spins it down. He gets this stuff called Activigen or Activegan. It depends how you want to pronounce it. And that is known to increase the metabolism and increase tissue healing. We do know that this works. So that's a very small element of what he extracts from the calves and the roosters. But apparently, and look, I'm not aware of this. It's not written up in any of the journals. So it's a little bit of, you know, behind the closed door sort of stuff that happens. But the players and the high-profile people go over there, they get numbers of these injections, several dozens over a couple of weeks, of the Activegan into the area that needs to get the healing. And it promotes tissue healing. And we assume it gets these magnificent results. But
Jordan Dugowie, Doc, he's flown to Europe. Now, you've always told me, you know, if you've got an injury, the worst thing you can do is fly. So he spent 50 hours in the air getting there. How long was he there for, Damo? 50 hours?
3 days max.
So it's a tight turnaround to get yourself sorted out, Doc.
Well, look, I'm not really sure what the purpose of the visit was, though, Harry. Look, I've got to say, I think it's a long shot to think he will play in a grand final if they get there.
Okay.
You know, it's a recurrent hamstring. We've got to say that, you know, you've got to double the time. We've always said that. If you get a recurrent injury, you've got to double it. So he's well into the preseason before he's up and away. But I think he's probably gone over to see Professor Wolfhart about attending to the hamstring so that it doesn't become a long-term issue you know, it has been for Darcy Moore and Ben Reid and others who have had these recurrent injuries. And Collingwood might be a little bit sort of gun-shy. They don't want to get another recurrent hamstring situation. So that's maybe why they're seeking the professor's answers.
The first hamstring was a tendon tear, if you like. The second one, did it get confirmed what it was, or could it have been some tendinopathy, so to speak, from that initial tear, which could heal?
Correct. Or the awareness we talk about.
Because I didn't hear a grade two or a grade one or a grade three with that second.
Is this a sort of like a couple of medical balls in a paddock going out of here? I'm feeling Juddy's getting a little slighted that we went to Dr. Ron White instead of him.
Waiting for my introduction in the medical field, but it took a little while to come, so I thought I'd jump in. But could it be a tendinopathy this time around, and then that would give him a better chance of playing than if it was an actual tear?
Well, the thing is, if it involves a tendon, that's bad. You know, we know now that if you involve the hamstring tendon, it's at least a 6-week injury.
But tendonitis is very different to a tendon tear.
Correct.
Ooh. All right, they're starting to turn off now.
That was getting interesting to me. That was sort of one medical headache everywhere. Overruling the other medical heavyweight, which they don't tend to do often.
But Nate's getting edgy because he's got his segment that he's been working on for 2 weeks. Good luck, and thanks, Doc. We'll speak.
Good work, Doc.
Thank you, Doc.
He's confused, Doc.
But now it is time for the top five, the one that Nathan's wife rang the producer and said, I don't think you should let my husband go with this. It is time for...
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
Das, the confidence our man has about the...
it's overwhelming.
Enough of you,
humorous.
Enough of you. It's been one of the great segments, the Top 5, and... You and Damo nearly wrecked it with your top 12 and top 14 the last couple of weeks. So I've kept it a bit shorter this week because it is preliminary final weekend. There's only four teams playing. So this is actually a top four.
A top four.
So it's going to be a top four. Okay. And I was in the car the other day, Duke, and I thought of you because I heard a radio ad. And we're not going to play the radio ad, but it reminded me of you. And I thought, you know, that could be a good top five. Top five or top four radio ads. And I thought, how could I do that? How could I figure out what are the top four radio ads in our country at the moment? And then I thought, well, the four guys I work with on a Friday night, as good a start as any. So let's hear.
No, you haven't written your own ads.
The number four radio ad in Australia featuring Howard.
Tired of being overweight, underappreciated and overlooked? Hi, I'm Howard, owner, operator and founder of Howard Global Fitness, and I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be stuck with your gut. When I looked in the mirror, I decided to make a change. My goal to get from 57.2 kilograms to 57.4 kilograms didn't happen overnight. Here at Howard Global, we understand that being a paperweight is a genetic disorder, much like baldness. Howard Global employs a highly trained quasi-cultural staff of personal alteration specialists. We drop that many names at Howard Global that it's a workout in itself just to pick them all up. Think of it as a more attractive, better you, getting promotions you can't achieve without the help of Howard Global. And when you sign up today, you'll also receive a free Howie Games bumper sticker. At Howard Global, we fat shame our way to fame.
I don't think this is the way forward. I don't think we should hear the last three.
That was pretty good.
Cut it off now. You know?
That sounded like our head of football voicing that. Huey Giles.
It was. Great voiceover. Okay, let's head to number three. And this is our man, Damien Barrett.
Are you owed money? Do you feel like you're getting the runaround? Are you sick of hearing excuses like I didn't get your calls, my grandma's sick, or I lost my wallet? Hi, I'm Damien Barrett, owner, operator and muscle of Black Soul Debt Collections. I take the stress out of your cash flow and get you paid. Using the proven push-up king collection method, we specialise in the tactics that you don't talk about at your dinner parties, your school pickups or your fancy fundraisers. We go to work on the lowest of the low, bottom of the barrel operators, and we squeeze them to within an inch of their lives until money comes out. When they hear the roar of the Camaro's Black Soul, they know the new sheriff is in town. Get paid. Get Barrett. Sheriff Barrett at Black Soul Debt Collections.
That's very good. Very good.
Black Soul.
How much work's gone into this, Nate?
It's been a good week's worth, you know. Me and Matty Haywood, and some of it was nasty that I had to take out that Christina didn't approve of. But let's go to number two, and our great mate here, the judge.
At Judd Corp Financial, we live by one motto and one motto alone.
Green, for lack of a better word, is good.
We work on low-cost, high-yield transactions. Some call them Ponzi schemes. I like to call them taking the training wheels off your finances. I'll show you how Judd Corp Financial predicted the downfall of Tesla and outed Elon Musk as a spliff-smoking hippie. We were able to put together a recycling contract that pulled the wool over everyone's eyes and made us a truckload. Minimal output, maximum income. Research shows us that the richest 1% of this country owns 99% of its wealth. One-third of that comes from hard work. Two-thirds comes from inheritance, interest on interest, and the other third comes from what we do, stock manipulation. At Judd Corp Financial, we take the training wheels off your finances.
Oh, that's my favourite.
All we got time for, I think.
I think there's time for it. He said there was a top four.
I left my great mate Dast the last, and here is the number one radio ad in our country.
Hi, Luke Darcy here, with the Duke of Wellness, Power of Positive Thinking. I cured myself of anger and rage with my own mind thoughts. I take you on a spiritual journey of mind thoughts to become a better soul. The only person who is stopping you reaching your full potential is you. I know this because I'm the founder, but more importantly, I'm also a client. I used to be an angry man. I used to work myself into such a rage that I once punched Rob Murphy in the back of the head. I once placed my hand in a tank of piranhas before belting my mate Leon Cameron. And I even once threatened to punch Andy Marr's lights out on a golf course. But since using the spiritually enriching Duke of Wellness Mind Thoughts program, I've learned that the best place for all that anger is out of your mind thoughts. The Duke of Wellness Power of Positive Thinking. Call us today.
might register that one. Got a bit of.
So that's uniform. The top five.
Well done, mate.
Well done, mate.
You've come good in preliminary final week.
2 years in. Yeah. He's finally at home, right?
That was very good, Brady.
I suggest we finish on that, mate.
What type of stuff did Christina think? Yeah. Didn't think should air?
We don't need to go through that.
Maybe tell us in the break. Well done, Nate. Very nice. Top four of the top five. What's your gut feel, Judge? How are they structured up forward tonight, the catcher? Had a chat to Matty Scarlett. He played his card pretty close to his chest.
He did. Look, I think Henderson will play forward. I think they looked good with the two key forwards last week in Hawkins and Radaglia. I think it gave them the option to play on quick, and if they got into trouble, bang the ball long and deep. And if you've only got one tall target to do that to, it's easy for defenders to zone off and create those 2v1s. So I think Hendo will be up forward.
Okay. Massive night for the Geelong Footy Club. You'd imagine a couple of the Cats probably getting to the end of their career as well, Judge. Lockie might be in that boat, hopefully not. Harry Taylor will be interesting to see what he does moving forward as well.
Taylor, Henderson, even Ablett would be the discussions. Who wouldn't surprise you if any of those guys decided this year was going to be their last. Nate Brown, what do you think will happen out of those three?
Well, if you had asked me 6 weeks ago about Ablett, I would have thought he was close to being an All-Australian player. Yeah. He's tapered off. And his final so far, he didn't do a hell of a lot last week. He was better last week, but certainly Ablett, I would have 6 weeks ago been playing on. Harry Taylor did a great job last week, but I think Lockie Henderson, with the spate of injuries he's had, is probably the obvious one to be moved on.
When you get to this stage of the year, as it has happened with Harry Taylor, and you don't have a deal in front of you, he's been around long enough to know what happens next. And yeah, I think he's entered this final series the way he's talked publicly too, with that fully in his head that this is probably his last hurrah when it comes to finals.
Damn. Howard, I just think with Ablett, he had such a brilliant first half of the year. I was just saying off air to Duke, if you had have rested him over the bye, had the bye and another 2, even 3 weeks off, even though he wasn't injured, I don't think his form would have dropped off at all. I think more clubs need to be bolder with the way they rest ageing players if they want to maximise their talent, because he's got so much ability, and it's not the ability that goes, it's your ability to back up week after week.
Damo, it's a potentially really sticky situation. Kevin Diggerson looks after media down there at Geelong. He was probably there when Gazza came, and he was protected from the media, and he's become a superstar in his own right, gone to the Gold Coast, come back. It's going to be a really difficult thing to negotiate their way through with one of the greatest players ever to play at the club. It's a situation you wouldn't want to be in as a footy club.
Yeah, the realisation though when he came back from the Gold Coast was to just play the 2 years. Yep. And then to see what had happened. And the extraordinary, as Juddy referred to a few moments ago, start to 2019 had everyone rethinking, the club included. But I think the back half of the year, and it may well have been contributed to what Jody just referenced, the fact he didn't get a sizable break, which was the plan going into the year. They obviously started winning and then losing in that order after the break, and they didn't have the luxury of games up their sleeve as they once did, so he's been forced to play. But I feel, and again, he's so private, isn't he, but people around him that they know him better than I do are saying that he's got his head around the possibility now that is it. Now, Liam Pickering, his manager, will always say he wants to go around, but that's his job to keep the possibilities alive. And look, it will come down to how he plays, won't it, tonight. If he plays okay, that could change the conversation. But if it's like the previous two finals he's played this series, the conversation might be quite easy for Geelong.
Harry, just changing tack for a moment, waiting from Adam Kings, who's going to join us shortly from the Tigers. They're out there warming up at the moment, Richmond players and the Cats both going through a bit of a pre-warm-up. Some of them having a kick, having some run-throughs. And just out of the corner of my eye, I just thought, oh, what's happening there? Daniel Rioli sprinting across the ground, jumping on the back. He ran 100 metres just to go and give Brandon Parfitt a hug, and they spent 5 minutes together. We know the Indigenous boys have got a special relationship, but I still love seeing it. You know, a night like tonight, out the corner of his eye, saw one of his mates, the brothers, as they call each other, and it's a great part of our game, isn't it, to see that relationship that the Indigenous boys have when they play against each other.
And it's something that irks a lot of people as well. I think it's great for our game, the whole Sydney Stack, Eddie Betts thing that happened on the boundary line. There should be more of it. Good pick-up, Duke.
Still 24 degrees here. Das, just one more on Ablett. I don't know if I get the stick by the wrong end, but I want to see these blokes play.
Yeah.
I want to see Gary Ablett play next year. I sometimes feel like everyone's like, oh, well, he's done. Let's get rid of him. I want to come to the footy and commentate Gary Ablett.
I agree with you. It's one of the bizarre things about our culture in Australia and Australian sport is that we try and call the end early of players, and it happens a lot. In American sport, you do a lap and they try and beg you to play again. And I think we can learn something out of that. And maybe what Luke Hodges has done the last 2 years is a good example. And I said, oh, Hodges cooked. He's going up there for, you know, get a bit of sun and take a bit of cash at the end. What he gave to that club in the last 2 years. So we do wrap people up a bit too quick, I reckon, Jody.
Yeah, great. The Hodge one's a great example, isn't it? It's just a huge success for Brisbane and him as well.
Premiership player from the Port Adelaide Football Club now, a midfield coach at Richmond. Adam Kingsley joins us. Good evening to you, Adam.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Yeah, great, Adam. Hey, your old mate, Damien Harbutt, you played a premiership with him in 2004, and now you're back at the Tigers. Now you see him up close and personal. What makes him such a good coach?
Well, he's probably opposite to how he appeared on the field. He's very caring. He's got that great quality about him that his players just love him, and the way that he speaks to them, the way that he treats them is really special. So I think that's probably his best quality.
Do you think that caring's an innate personality trait, or do you think it's something he's deliberately cultivated?
Oh, no, I think he's always had it. He's probably just showing it a lot more than what I saw it as a player. He's always had that that side to him. It's just a matter of letting it shine.
Adam, do you have a feel for the matchup that Dylan Grimes will find himself on tonight?
Well, we're not quite sure. They may send Harry Taylor to tag him, and he's done that role on and off in the past. So that's certainly an option. But Dylan will just play on whoever's down there and try and do the best job that he does. And he's had a fantastic year so far, and we're pretty confident he'll continue tonight.
You better work it out within moments of the game starting anyway. But what are you feeling with regards to the Henderson being the replacement for Hawkins? Do you think he will go forward as well?
Well, I think either Taylor plays forward, Henderson back, or vice versa. I'm probably expecting Henderson to play back, Taylor forward, try and engage Grimesy. As I said, he's done that in the past and done a pretty good job on certain players. So, that's what we're expecting.
Adam, it seemed like for, I guess, the best part of 15 years, Geelong and Hawthorne were the best sides. And it seemed like every time there was a ball in dispute, they'd just get a hand to it. They'd tap it out to a teammate, not get a stat. But for the first time this year, I've seen Richmond bring that into their game. And no more evident than in the Brisbane final last week. I felt like you tapped the ball on probably at least a dozen times in the path of a teammate who then set up a goal. And it was really telling at the end of the game.
Yeah, look, I think we've got a really strong, selfless group that know if we can surge the ball forward and play that Richmond brand, then we're pretty hard to beat. So there's numerous ways to get it to our teammates, and we've certainly identified that. And, ultimately it's about getting it to the person in the best position, however it gets there. And, Dusty had a different way of getting it to Jack in the forward line a couple of weeks ago by just throwing it on the ground. But... yeah, however we can get it there, that's how we'll do it.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Richmond Footy Club tonight.
No worries.
Adam Kingsley, midfield coach at Richmond. Time now for...
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Judy.
I reckon this will be the first time you've been... post 7 o'clock, and I think Howard's giving you a little bit of a touch up here to say, mate, you need to improve because this is the latest you've been. I don't think he's happy about it. The skipper down there
off Broadway.
Yeah, I think Howard's just—it's a bit of a clip to say, mate, you need to improve.
Well, he's normally at 6:35, but you said you wanted your top five. It was only
hey, don't try and point the blame at me, Howard.
All right, Judge.
Well, I'm glad we've gotten around to it, Howard. In any case, eventually we'll get straight into the best votes this week. Yep. Go to the Samoan and All Blacks. Rugby players that have tattoos, Duke, after they've decided that during the World Cup in Japan, they'll in fact cover up those tattoos out of respect to the Japanese people. Mm. Obviously, tattoos in Japan are linked to the Yakuza, the underground crime gang that roam the streets of Japan. It's a mark of respect, and I like it.
They roam the streets, do they?
And I'd like to see more of it in our game, because I'm offended by a lot of the crap tattoos our players are wandering around in. And I'd like to see them covered up, to be honest, Duke, with some exceptions. If you've won a Brownlow, you get to keep him. Dusty, no problem. Swanee, Kevin Murray. If you've got a premiership tattoo, that can stay on. Or if you've got a tattoo on your knuckle saying, trust no one, you can leave that. But any others, I think they're offensive, and I'd like to see them covered up.
Do we have a Yakuza issue in Melbourne, just a respect issue?
Just a respect issue. Okay. Yeah, just something that I'm offended about. Good worst start. On grand votes, Howard.
Yes, yes.
One vote now, obviously Justin Trudeau had issues during the week, caught up in a brown face, and now we discover a blackface scandal as well. But he's not getting the one vote for worst on grand. It's been another scandal at a dress-up party by an AFL great, and we don't take short steps in this commentary box. Duke?
Taking down a great.
And Luke Hodge, he gets the one vote for worst on ground this week after bald-heading at the Brisbane Mad Monday.
Oh, I saw that.
Hodgie did.
He wore a bald sort of a skull cap.
He did.
Was it a Chris Chuck
when
costume?
It's Gary Ablett, and it's highly offensive to bald men.
To the bald community.
And I think Luke owes myself and Gary and the rest of the community an apology for that one. So he gets the one vote.
So you can be across Brisbane's Mad Monday but not know that Lachie Whitfield.
This is why he's after 7 o'clock tonight.
Right. Two votes go to KFC, who'll test a new meal with fried chicken in a burger. The burger is not your traditional bun, Nate. It's two donuts, which just sounds disgusting. It does beg the question, if you're willing to eat that, should you be allowed to have kids? Duke, if you're willing to steal from your future self,
that's a jump.
Should you hold off on having kids? And I know, you know, Howard's been known to fat shame on this show.
That's not true at all.
But I think we need to decide which side of the world we're on that, because, you know, we happen to shame our people into not drink driving, to not smoking, to not being violent, not leaving the kids in a car. Maybe we need to take a position that fat shaming is okay. And if you're eating that at KFC, I think you need to have a second look yourself. They're not a sponsor, are they, Howard?
Not anymore.
Yep. And three votes the worst on ground this week. Been a bit cold in the box tonight, I reckon, to be honest. Distinct lack of sniggering. I reckon Howard's worried he's going to get in trouble again. The three votes for worst on ground this week go to the Balinese government after they implemented this new law.
Consensual sex may be out of the question for tourists in Bali unless they're married. The Indonesian parliament expected to pass new laws by the end of the month where unmarried couples who have sexual intercourse could be jailed for up to 6 months.
Now, we know Nate Brown's going on holiday to Bali at the end of the year. He's obviously going with his beautiful wife, Christina, so he's not going to violate this law.
That's good. Yes.
But I did get the Judd Corp in-house legal counsel just to do some investigations with Indonesia, just to make sure they're not going to ban consensual sex with yourself. Because we know Nate Brown has had a long history of treating himself, and I just want to make sure our boy doesn't get locked up over there, because he's up on his toes at the minute, Duke. He's coming off a lost decade.
And I think it's sound advice for him. I'd hate to see him in Karobakan or somewhere.
It'd be horrible, because he's back on his feet. He's had the lost decade. He's fighting back. He's hosting well on Sunday.
He is.
And
it'd be highly embarrassing, too,
if
he went down.
It would be. Balinese government to get the three votes.
The big nose producer's hovering over that red button.
Surely hit it.
No.
Surely hit it.
Very high-pressure segment. I thought everyone was
Everyone's uptight except for Nate. makes a lot of sense now.
I referenced a tweet moments ago from the great Brendan Favola, who we all love. Don't think I've ever been this nervous before. A game of footy as a player and now as a supporter. Good luck, Daniel, as in Rioli. We're so proud of you. Whatever happens, bro, the girls can't wait to see you dominate tonight. Go Tiggs, number 17, proud father-in-law. Obviously, goes out with his eldest daughter, a very nervous man, and a man with a massive heart, which is why I love him. He joins us on the Friday Huddle. The big, loose Brendan Favola. Good evening to you, big man.
Evening, boys. How are we going?
How are you? You've tweeted out. How are you actually feeling, big boy?
I'm very nervous, Howie. I've been pacing up and down. I never got nervous before a game. Whenever I watched a game of footy, I never get nervous. This time last year, I obviously went to the prelim to watch him against the Tigs, and I just thought it was a done deal. And obviously the aftermath afterwards, and it was just heartbreaking. So I just don't want that to happen again, because obviously Daniel lives with us, and I am a proud father-in-law, I suppose. They're not married, obviously, but he does live with us. He's been living with us for a year and a half, so I'm bloody nervous.
Hey, Fev, I love it. And I saw you last week up to the Gabba and back, and Fev had flown the whole family, all of the girl, the little ones at home, Fev, with mum, but you booked out basically the entire business class, Fev, which shunted a few people down the back. You weren't that happy on the way back, mate. So you're travelling with the family. That's a great commitment, mate, as you said, for your daughter's partner.
Yeah, I didn't realise there were seats at the back, Darf. You would have known that too, because you're up the front. Paul, Richo and Lingy weren't too happy about that. But, did fly up last week to support Daniel. Obviously, this week, my wife and, or my ex-wife, fiance, and my daughter in Sydney for business. So I've got baby duties. I'm with Tobes and the two little ones, so we couldn't go to the G tonight. So I've been with Daniel all day. He was feeding Toby at about 4 o'clock before he went off, and he was pretty calm. So not as calm as me. I'm so nervous. I've never really felt this way before about a footy game. So, you know, he's had a pretty good year. He's had the ups and downs. He got dropped and played in the twos. And, you know, I just want to see him succeed. And, you know, his family's in Tiwi and they couldn't make it over. So hopefully we can sit here and cheer loud, and hopefully the Tigs can get over the line.
So what's happened, Fev? You're getting more emotional as you get older?
No, I just think because you live through it every day. I suppose, you know, Dash, you've got a son who plays footy, and I suppose at the AFL level, I've only got daughters, so they don't really play any sport. They've got their mum's coordination, so they're not real good at the sport. So with Daniel living at our house, I suppose you ride the bumps and the highs and the lows with him, and you go out throughout the whole year, and you just want to see him succeed. And obviously, I'm obviously a Carlton man, but now that he's at the Tigers, and I think I've got a bit of the yellow and black in me, so I'm just so nervous.
You're originally a Tigers man, weren't you, Croc?
No, I was a Saints man, but my mum's a Tigers supporter. Okay. So, yeah, it's just the girls are sitting in the lounge room with their Richmond scarves on, and we all can't wait for the footy to come on. And mate, Rioli's finals footy's at Onewood, so he, 2017, he played really well in the prelim and got him into a grand final, and he's played well last week. So hopefully he can dominate on the G tonight.
What type of young man is he, Fev? As you said, he's been with you for a year and a half.
He's a quiet fella, which is pretty much not like me. But he's not much of a conversationist, but he sits in his room and plays Fortnite on his phone with his family up in the Tiwi in Darwin. And he only comes out when he can smell the food. So he comes out when I cook him dinner. And but he's a good kid, and he's really quiet, and he loves his footy. And, you know, he went through a bit of hard times throughout the year when he was dropped into the twos, as I said before. But I just think, as I said to him when he left, I think I put it on my Insta, we always were meant for finals, and he just said, yeah. And I said to him this morning, I said, mate, you nervous? He goes, mate, bruz, I've been here and done this before. I've already got a medal. So there's not much more he can say about that. He's not nervous at all, but I think they're pretty resilient after last year getting knocked off by the Pies. And, you know, they've done really well considering the first half of the year they missed a lot of players, and obviously Rance, six-time All-Australian, they haven't really missed him at all. So the team's pretty solid, 10 in a row. Which means nothing, but if they win tonight, they're into a grand final. So, geez, I'll be up and about. I'll give you the tip.
Hey, Lush, Toby Green made a lot of headlines this week, which took us back to our great mate here, the judge, and the old pressure points.
Righto, boys.
Brendan, we appreciate your time.
For every time we got said that, we'd be billionaires.
You're a man.
Daddy made a mistake, and I made a mistake. So there we go.
Hope it goes your way and your family's way tonight. Good on you, Fev.
See you, mate.
See you, guys. Have a good call.
Lovely to speak to Brendan Favola, talking all about the fact that Daniel Rioli lives with him. No changes in either side, Damo?
Correct. And as we heard there from Adam Kingsley, he feels that Harry Taylor will go forward, at least for part of the game, Brownie, primarily to man up on Dylan Grimes, who clearly is going to be...
So a defensive role on Dylan Grimes has happened before. I think Jordan Lewis did it earlier on in the season, and it was a little bit unsettled early in that game, Dylan Grimes, but eventually the Tigers got on top and played the game they needed to.
Do you like that idea?
He has a big influence on the game, Dylan Grimes. I mean, to tag him, I'm not 100% sure that he's that damaging the other way, but if you go to tag him, does he create a two-on-one on someone? For me, I'd be just trying to send my best forward down there to beat Dylan Grimes. All right, we are not too far away from this one getting underway. We've got about 43 seconds to ask before we take our final break. Just a couple of thoughts from you just to keep us going. It'll be nice.
Yeah, look, I'm just having a look at the Dribbling Bosch Tools replay at the moment. Chris Scott last week was as intense and as fired up. There's so much on the line. Joel Selwood had that look in his eye about dragging a side over the line, which he just about single-handedly did, Joel Selwood. I think for the Cats, something special has to happen tonight. They're up against an irresistible team in Richmond. They need someone or a couple of their players to do something they haven't done for a while. So that's what the summation is for me, Howie. I'm thinking the Tigers, but you never know in these big prelim finals.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.